radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for tuning in once again to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. And everybody wave goodbye to Paul. He's got us started and he's off and running to his next project. But we want to thank you for choosing to spend a half an hour with us today as we talk about God's Word. We are specifically talking about the spiritual truths from God's Word. We're going to be in the book of Jeremiah today, chapter 28. Verse number 9 is the spiritual truth that we are talking about. Let me read that verse to you just to get us going. It says, "As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent." And so we're going to be talking about how do you know if a person is a true prophet from God. So that's, we're going to be in chapters 27. We're going to work through 27, 28, and 29 so that we can better understand the gift of God to the body of Christ called the prophet, and how to recognize a true prophet and how to recognize a not so true prophet. So do want to say thank you today. Once again, been telling you about this for about a month now. My wife had some serious surgery, life-altering surgery, and needed some higher technology in order for her to be able to drive, which she has resumed doing. And we're very thankful for that. She was back to work, and I was escorting her back and forth, chauffeuring her around, and she is now able to drive herself, and that is because of some of the help that we got from the folks at Bob Steele Chevrolet, 2610288. And so I know that car buying is a complicated process. This is the first time that I've ever bought a new car, and this time it was out of necessity. It wasn't out of some vain want or anything like that. It was like, in order for her to be able to drive, she needs this technology, and it's only available in the later model vehicles, not the newer one, or not the older ones, which is what we normally drive. And by the way, that purchasing that vehicle enabled us to be a blessing to someone else. And so I know that everybody has different experiences. The folks at Bob Steele, they treated us wonderfully. Tavy and Rob, I believe, was our salesperson's name. And, they actually had cars on the lot you could look at. And so I wanted to say thank you to them for helping my wife to be able to resume some normalcy in her routine. So thank you very much to the folks at Bob Steele Chevrolet. If you've had a bad experience, I apologize, but I had a great experience, and so we're very thankful. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah today. And in order for us to get to chapter 28, I want to start with some backstory back in Jeremiah chapter 27. And it says this in verse number 1, "In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus says the Lord to me, Make for yourselves bonds and yokes, and put them on your neck, and send them to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, and the king of the Ammonites, the king of Tyre, and the king of Sidon, by the hand of the messengers who come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and command them to say to their masters, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Thus you shall say to your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are on the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beast of the field I have also given him to serve him. So all nations shall serve him and his son and his son's son until the time of his land comes, and then many nations and great kings shall make him serve them. And it shall be that the nation and kingdom which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish, says the Lord, with the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, and your sorcerers, who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you, to remove you far from your land, and I will drive you out, and you will perish. But the nations that bring their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let them remain in their own land, says the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell in it. So, first of all, let me say this, that I'm very thankful for the gift of prophecy. I am thankful for the gift of prophets to the body of Christ. With that being said, out of all the occupational gifts, if you will, or the gifts of office, of service that God calls people to, the one that I always have said this, that, you know, I wouldn't want to be called a prophet, I would not want to be called a prophet. That's the one office. And that's because many of the prophets that God calls, he makes them a living example to their communities. And so Isaiah was called to do some object lessons, and people are like, what is going on? And then the message comes, and Ezekiel had some very unpleasant things that he had to do, and Jonah had some unpleasant. So I want to start off today by telling you that, you know, if God calls you to something, that is wonderful, but if you're just seeking an office for a title without understanding the functionality and the importance of that office, you're in dangerous territory. And so here, God begins to speak through Jeremiah, and he tells all of these nations, look, I'm going to yoke you to the king of Babylon. It says in verse number 5, I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are on the ground. Okay, so there was nobody that was questioning during this time whether God was creator God. So I was having a conversation with a person that I know. They were talking about the message that they just preached and how it was to explain the Father. And he said, the first point that I shared with the congregation when helping them to understand our Heavenly Father is you've got to remember he's the creator. So he creates the earth, he created man, he creates everything on the ground, he created everything in the heavens. And he said, I did that by my great power and by my outstretched arm. He didn't even need any help. All he needed was to speak a word, and bam, there it was. And then it says this, so please understand the sovereignty of Creator God. So he creates everything exactly according to the way that he wanted it. And it says, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. Now, I want you to understand that when something seems proper to God, that's because it is proper. There is a divine plan. There's a divine timeline. There is nothing improper about it. The amazing thing about God is that he uses godly people to accomplish his purposes, and he will even use ungodly people to accomplish his purposes. He wants all to know that he is God, and he doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to everlasting life. So Pharaoh, during the time of Moses, was used for the glory of God, but I believe that there was a different way that Pharaoh could have gone about that. He could have cooperated with the plan of God instead of hardening his heart to the plan of God. And so that's what the prophet here. The prophet was primarily responsible not for foretelling the future, but instead was responsible for calling people back into a relationship with God Almighty. And so understand that God's plan is a good plan. And so when God commands you to speak something forth, you're not going to be able to hold it back. You don't want to hold it back. You want to speak it forth. And he says, so I am calling people under service to Nebuchadnezzar, to his son, and to his grandson. And he says, anyone that will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish, says the Lord. And that punishment comes through a few different vehicles, through different means, and that is sword, famine, and pestilence. In other words, my provision will be cut off. My peace is going to be cut off because you have rejected my plan. I'm going to show that to you here in just a moment. In verse number 9, the commandment to the people is this, and I want to highlight, I think I highlighted this when I just read through it just a moment ago, but it says, therefore do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, and your sorcerers who speak to you saying you shall not serve the king of Babylon. Okay? And so I want to remind you there are three sources of prophetic information. One is when God has called you, God has positioned you, and when he tells you to say something, you say it. When God calls you, you always want to say yes to his call. Okay? There are other prophets who prophesy not from as a messenger of God, but as a messenger of evil. And so you never want to do what, you know, the devil wants you to do. It's never going to work out well. It might work out well for a season, but on an eternal scale, it is not going to work out well. The devil does not have good plans for you. He's got plans of destruction, of devastation, of deception. That's what his plans are. The third one is where things get very, very sensitive. And I've, you know, in my walk of obedience to God, there have been times when I thought that God had told me to do something, not from a prophetic standpoint, but from just an act of obedience. And that's when there are prophets who prophesy, as the scripture says, out of their own spirit. And so in the New Testament, Paul writes that in the last days, people would gather around themselves teachers who will say the things that they want to hear. Okay, here is the greatest thing about God's prophet. He will not tell you what you want to hear. He will tell you what you need to hear, what God wants you to hear. And so there are people here that are called your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, and your sorcerers. In other words, they are operating not at my bidding, but at your bidding. And I will tell you, there's a difference between a shepherd and a hireling. There's a person who's just in it for the money, who's doing it because there was nothing else available. They might have got drafted into it, whatever, but they will not have the same heart that a messenger or a prophet of God will say. By the way, if you turn over to chapter 28, okay, the reason I'm setting the stage like this is this all, chapter 27, 28, 29, all begins with Jeremiah prophesying that Nebuchadnezzar was going to rise to prominence on the world stage, and people needed to be willing to walk in cooperation with Nebuchadnezzar, and that just rubbed them the wrong way. They didn't want to do that. In chapter 28, the person who responds to Jeremiah's prophecy is a guy by the name of Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet. Okay? So it says there, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, okay, and he begins to prophesy in a contradictory manner to what Jeremiah has said. And here's what I want you to see. His dad was a prophet. But somewhere along the line, he did not get the memo that it needed to be a message from God. He thought, you know, I can just go out there and speak, and because my dad's a prophet, people are going to give me credibility and stuff like that. I want you to understand that God does not have grandchildren. He only has children. And so every person needs to have that personal relationship with God where they are called to their unique place in the body of Christ. Now, whether they just made Hananiah a prophet because his dad was a prophet, I don't know. But I do know that this, that there were godly prophets that said, I am neither a prophet nor a prophet's son. You know, the reason I'm here, God gave me a message. I spoke the message, and people, you know, their response to that message is their response. It's up to them. I need to do my job. And I want to do it with a heart of compassion. We'll talk about how Jeremiah responds to Hananiah's contradiction of his prophecy in just a moment. Well, looking at the clock, it's probably going to be tomorrow. He responds in a very interesting way, shall we say, and then he hears from God. Let me show you the reason, and we've talked about this a little bit before. Verse number 10, for they prophesy a lie to you to remove you from your land, and I will drive you out, and you will perish. But the nations that bring their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let them remain in their own land, says the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell in it. So these people who were operating under society's mandate instead of God's mandate, God says the reason that they are doing that is they're prophesying deception to you. And the result of that is going to be that you are going to be removed from your land, driven out from your land, and you're going to die. Okay? So you don't want to be following prophetic messages that are not from the throne room of heaven. Okay? So I'm sitting here right now. I've got my left hand on the front of my Bible, and I've got my right hand on the back of my Bible, the back covers. Paul was teasing me. He before we went on there, he said, you mean you actually preach from the pulpit from that behemoth. I mean, I've got a large Bible here in front of me that's got really large print, so I can find where I'm at, because I'm looking not at the Bible all the time. I'm looking at the wall as if I'm looking to you. As far as I'm concerned, we're having a Bible study together here right now, and I like to make eye contact with people or personal contact with people. And so I treat this microphone as if you and I are sitting here having a conversation about the Word of God. So there are consequences for listening to the wrong voices. And I will tell you this, it doesn't matter how loud that voice is. It doesn't matter how many different voices join the choir and start singing the same tune. If the message doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not true. And so we need to know the Word of God, because we bear the responsibility of evaluating spiritual messages, whether they're true or not. And so how do you do that? You know the Word of God. You compare it to the Word of God. And so I've not had to do this often, but I have done it, where there have been messages that have been shared, and I would have to get up and say, okay, now I need to bring clarity to this, because, you know, what happened recently didn't line up with the Word of God. And you know, whenever that happens, you know, some people might feel as if, you know, you don't want the gifts in operation. I want you to know that's not true. Let me tell you a personal story about my growth experience in hearing the voice of God. When I was growing up, our church operated in the gifts quite a bit. And one night there was a message in tongues that went forth, and we believe that if there's a message in tongues, there needs to be an interpretation of that message so that there is understanding. And so I had never been utilized in the gift of interpretation before. And so I was sitting there, and this message came to me, and it was very intense, and it was, you know, it would not let me go. But having never been used in the interpretation gifts before, I hesitated, and I hesitated a long time. And finally, after a prolonged period of silence, there was a person that was sitting, and I was sitting in the left section, and say I was sitting on row 5. Okay, I don't remember exactly what row. I do remember I was sitting on the left section. I was sitting, so for lack of clarity purposes, sitting in the left section, row 5, with a message to share with the body. After not acting upon what was going on in my spirit, a person in the center section, row 5, proceeded to give word for word the exact same message that I felt like God wanted me to share. Now, here's the first reaction. Oh, man, I missed out on a wonderful opportunity to be used by God. I could have given that message that night, but you know what? It's not about who gives the message. It's about that the body hears the message. And by the way, the Bible says that a truth shall be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So if anybody wanted to say, you know, is that message true? I could have testified and said, yeah, God spoke the exact same thing to me. So my initial reaction was one of dejection. The second reaction was this: God, I'm so thankful. that you allowed me to be part of this learning experience so that next time I will know when you are speaking to me. I am so thankful that we serve a merciful God, a long-suffering God, and He wants us to grow. So a lot of people think, you know, that if you, you know, are if you don't do everything perfectly, God's just standing there waiting to bat you into an eternity as separated from Him. I don't believe that's the heart of God at all. I believe that God's heart is one for the people to be reconciled to Him. That's why He sends prophets to call them back into right relationship, call them into repentance, call them into obedience, call them to prayer, call them back to the Word of God, call them back to their mission and their purpose and their function. And He says, so there are going to be some people that continue to follow their messengers instead of my prophets, and they're going to experience one outcome. He said, but if you do life, okay, I want you to hear this, but the nations that bring their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let them remain in their own land, says the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell in it. He said there's going to be a different result, a different lifestyle, a different outcome for those who listen to me and do what I said than there is for those who've rejected my prophet and chose others that would tell them what they wanted them to hear. So I tell my congregation this. I said, I don't know how God speaks to everybody. I just know how He speaks to me. He wants me to be the best me that I can possibly be. He wants me to be the best child of God. And so a lot of times people are, whenever they say God spoke to them, it's like He's patting them on the head, and it's like, you are just the most wonderful human being that has ever walked to the face of the earth, and I'm just so privileged that I get to be your God. You know, that's kind of the way that a lot of people. For me, God's almost always speaking to me in a loving manner, but in a corrective manner, because He wants me to be the best me that I can possibly be. And He knows that the way that that happens is by me walking in fellowship with Him, because He is the greatest gift to humanity that humanity's ever had. So pay attention to what God says. Do what God says, and it will be great. Don't listen to all those other lying voices. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
As your love sings a melody.